Over the years that you've been in the church, I am certain that you have heard ministers give messages about the words that we speak, about the power of the words, what they can do. We use them right. In Luke chapter 6, these are the words of Christ, where he's telling us that really by the words that we speak is the measure of who we are. So Luke chapter 6, if you're there with me now, he starts in verse 43 to say this. Verse 43, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree," verse 44, "is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. But a good man," verse 45 now, Luke chapter 6, "a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." We are measured by God by the words that we speak, because the words that we speak are what is in our heart. God links our eternal salvation to what we say, and he places the responsibility on us to control what comes out of our mouth. And he gives us the help that we need to be able to do that, because we can't do it on our own. We know, brethren, in these days there is a war of words that is going out on the airwaves and in the streets. Every day we see it, a war of words in our nation and our world today going on. Social media is rife, full of rancorous words. Perfect strangers are blasting each other online with insults, and perhaps you've seen threads like this in your Facebook posts where perfect strangers are throwing barbs at each other. They don't even know who they are, but they're insulting one another and demeaning one another with words. This is what we're seeing in our world today. And for us living in this world and these bodies that we are in that are imperfect, it's challenging for us to watch every word that we say, because we're not perfect. Our speech is not perfect. But God wants us to strive for perfection in the words we say. All of us have fallen short in this area. I know each one of us has regrets for words that we have spoken. We can think back where we have said the wrong thing, spoken the wrong thing at the wrong time or with the wrong emotion, and said words that were hurtful or misplaced. But to improve on our words, on our speech, we need God's help. And he expects us to avail ourselves of that help and apply ourselves to the effort of improving our speech and proving the words that we speak. And really it comes down to a matter of the heart, because out of the heart, Jesus Christ, the mouth speaks. If we do not watch over our mouth, we're going to reap the negative consequences, and that is certain. And in the end, our words will decide our fate, because they are a measure of who we are. You have heard the adage, "You are what you eat." Well, it's also true, brethren. You are what you speak. And so I've chosen that for my title today. You are what you speak. And the purpose of the message is to remind us that God always wants us to be careful with our words. What we say can be a blessing or a curse. Let's go to Psalm 141 now and read a few words of a man who, like us, was living in a body that had sinned, had issues. He had issues in his life. This is King David, Psalm 141. And he knew who he was. He knew he needed help with his words. And so I think this is a good foundational scripture for the message today in Psalm 141, where he says to God, praise to God, in verse 3, Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, set a guard over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. So we see, brethren, that he is focused on his heart. He doesn't want his heart to be inclined to do evil works. And he asks God to help him with the words that come out of his mouth. This is what we need to do too, because we are not able of ourselves to be perfect in this area. None of us are. But what we must watch and put a watch over the door of our heart. Ask God to help us keep that watch, as David does here. Ask God to help us not to be inclined to do evil things and practice wicked works. So the first point I'll make here today is that we need God's help to rule our mouth. We need God's help to rule our mouth, because no one can do this perfectly. We must ask God for his help. So let's go to a very familiar scripture when it comes in James, if you would, James chapter 3. James 3. I think any minister you have heard give a speech or a sermon, rather, about our speech, about the words that we speak, refers to this chapter in James 3, talking about the power that is in the tongue. So let's come here to James chapter 3 and see what James says here. As I've said in the past, I appreciate that James is very direct, right to the point. He tells us here in verse 2 of James 3, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, he is a perfect man. And so we look around, brethren, and we can just conclude we're not perfect at all, because we all stumble in word. And he is able to bridle the whole body. We're not perfect, but we can strive for perfection. And this is what God wants us to do. We can reach that perfection with God's help, with the help of his Spirit. Indeed, he continues here in verse 3 of James 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they might obey us, and we turn their whole body. He says, look also at the ships, verse 4. They are so large and driven by fierce winds, but they are turned by a very small rudder. You know, the rudder on a ship. Wherever the pilot desires. The same thing is for airplanes. If you watched airplanes in the sky, you can't even see the little rudder turning or the flaps going up and down on the wings, but they steer the whole airplane. Even so, he says, verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. It's a little member, meaning small part of our body. See how great a forest fire, a little fire kindles. It starts as a little fire, but it blows up. And it says, the tongue, verse 6, is a fire, a world of iniquity. James tells it pretty plain here. The tongue is a world of sin. There is sin on our tongues. And so we have to control that so that we do not let that tongue lead us or cause us to sin. The tongue, as it says here, is a fire, verse 6, a world of iniquity or sin. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles our whole body. It causes us to be defiled. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. This is a very graphic description of how evil the tongue can be and what kind of damage we can do with the words that we speak. Well, we brethren, we have to admit, as we come before God, we have to admit that we're not perfect. We cannot control what we say. We need God's help to do that. We must admit that. Now, bits and rudders, as it says here, bits in a horse's mouth is a small part of the whole horse, the tack, the saddle and the tack that steers the horse. And a rudder is a very small thing compared to a ship. I'd like to give you an example here. This is from the Believer's Bible Commentary on verse 4. Compared with the ship itself, picture a ship, the rudder is very small. And here's the example. The Queen Elizabeth, this is the first Queen Elizabeth, the big ocean liner, weighed 83,673 gross tons. You know, a gross ton is more than our ton of 2,000 pounds. So that's roughly I would say somewhere around 90,000 tons as we look at the 2,000 pound ton. And the rudder of the ship weighed only 140 tons, less than 0.2% of the total weight of the ship was the rudder. And yet when that small rudder turned, it turned this very, very large ship. So no one, as James continues, can tame the tongue. It can, as he says here, turn the course of nature. It can turn the course of our lives. It is, as he says and continues in verse 8, an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And so this is very plain, very graphic too. We must keep a very close guard upon it. With it, he continues in verse 9. Now notice two things come out of our mouth. Two things. We bless God, verse 9. We bless God our Father with our tongue. And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, who are made in God's image. We're all guilty of that. Blessing God, but saying something derogatory to our neighbor. Out of the same mouth proceeds, verse 10, blessing and cursing, two things. So brethren, as he says, these things ought not to be so. There are two results that come out of the words that you produce. Blessing and cursing, good or evil, light or darkness. This is what Scripture shows us. This is even what Jesus Christ says. James continues in verse 11, can a spring or a spring of water bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Well, you know, that doesn't happen. If you find a good spring, it brings good water. There's no bad water there. It comes out good. Those words echo what Jesus Christ says. A good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. A bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. If there's evil in the heart, evil comes out of the mouth. And finally, verse 12 in James. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. As Jesus Christ said, every tree is known by its fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, what's in your heart comes out. We are what we speak. With this much power, brethren, in our words, we see that we need God's help to control our mouth. This means we need, like David, to ask, God, put a watch over my mouth. Put a guard over the door of my lips. Only two results come out. Your words, this will be the second point, bring a blessing or a curse. Your words bring a blessing or a curse, and that's point two. You will find much trouble in life if you cannot control your tongue. On the other hand, if you can watch your mouth, you will find peace. Blessings will come to you. I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs now. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and come here. And we're going to look at some Proverbs of Solomon, because Solomon was one who wanted his son to be a success in life. The whole book of Proverbs is really about making those two choices, to choose the good way or the bad way, to choose good or evil, to choose blessing or cursing. And so all throughout the book of Proverbs, far too many for the sermon here, are instructions on the words that we speak. And so we're going to take a look at some of those here today. Two ways that you can go in life, blessing or a curse. And this is what your words produce. So let's start in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. And he says this to his son. This kind of sets the tone for what he's trying to say to his son about the words that he speaks. My son, verse 20 of Proverbs 4. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them right there. Keep them in the midst of your heart, like taking God's word and putting it in your heart. This is the same thing that he's telling his son. Take my words, put them in your heart. For they are life to those who find them. They're health to all their flesh. And keep your heart, verse 23, with all diligence. For out of it springs the issues of life. Watch your heart carefully and keep a guard over your mouth. As he says in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So that's something we need to do. We need to work at that. We need to take those lips and the perverse mouth and put it away. And we need God's help to do that, because it's of ourselves, we're weak. We need his help. Let's go to Proverbs 10 now. Proverbs 10, there's many verses in this chapter of Proverbs that instruct on the good or the evil that comes from our words. You'll notice throughout these verses the two choices, blessing or cursing, good or evil, light or dark. Verse 11, starting in Proverbs 10. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. A well of life comes is the mouth of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And when I was reading that verse, I was thinking about my dad for some reason. I had a nice conversation with my dad this past week, and he's 88 now, and I just turned 61 this past week, so he called me, always calls me on my birthday. And I just love listening and talking with my dad and hearing the words that he has to say. He always has my good intentions for me. I appreciate listening to him. And to me, they're like words of life, you know, to hear my dad speak. And although he's not in the church, but I kind of use that as an analogy here, as the mouth of the righteous. It brings forth life. It's a blessing. Wisdom, it says, verse 13 now. Verse 13 is found on the lips of him who has understanding. But a rod is for the back of him who is void of understanding. So one who understands God's word, the good things about God's word, God's way of life, on his mouth, her mouth, words of wisdom. Wise people, verse 14, store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The mouth of the foolish, those who don't care about God's way of life, who don't regard other people, who don't care about saying hurtful things, they are near destruction. The wise, though, store up knowledge, as verse 14 says, and heap up wisdom, and have that knowledge as they learn and grow in the knowledge of God. And those things are coming out of their mouth. That's what our lives should be, where we speak good things, good and wholesome words, and our lives are blessed for it. Verse 18 now of Proverbs 10. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Someone who has hatred in his heart, his lips are lying. In order to just promote himself, he keeps hatred in his heart, but he lies with his lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. He's bringing hurt upon himself. Destructive things that he can do with his mouth, spreading slander, lying lips. This one in verse 19, I think this is a good measure for us to think about, brethren, something for us to meditate on. In verse 19 of Proverbs 10, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. We have to think deeply about that. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. We have to measure our words. We can't just say everything that comes to our mind. We have to measure our words. The tongue of the righteous, verse 20, is like choice silver, very fine silver, the tongue of the righteous. The heart of the wicked is worth little. And so in the heart of the wicked, what comes out of that mouth, the heart, the mouth of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous, verse 21, they feed many. But fools die for lack of wisdom. Now you could see all throughout the Proverbs here so far, pointing out the blessing and the cursing that comes from the words that we speak. Either it's one or the other. Let's go to a few more. Proverbs 13 now. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Verse 3 of Proverbs 13. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. Do we want to enjoy life? Do we want to dwell in safety? We must guard our mouth. And again, we have to ask God to help us with that. But he who opens wide his lips will have destruction. That will be the result of one who just says anything, whatever comes to mind, and just blurts it right out without measuring his words. Those things will lead him to trouble. Let's go to another one in Proverbs 17 now. We'll have a few more here in Proverbs, making the point that out of our mouth come two things, blessing or cursing. Our words give life or they cause destruction. Proverbs 17. This is an interesting one. Verse 28. Verse 28 of Proverbs 17. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. But that's very interesting. If you think if a man is or woman is a foolish person, and yet they hold their lips, they're considered wise. Interesting. Let's go to a couple more in Proverbs 18 now. I think we'll end here in Proverbs 18. End in the book of Proverbs, that is, and go on after this. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and verse 6. Here's what a fool does with his mouth. A fool's mouth enters into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's lips enters into contention and his mouth calls for blows. And I might say a fool's mouth gets himself quickly into contention. If we're not careful, brethren, we could get ourselves into contention quite easily. With our emotions, we could get ourselves out of control and say things we should not. A fool's mouth enters into contention and calls for blows. A fool's mouth, verse 7, is his destruction, and his lips are a snare for the soul. And the words of a talebearer, verse 8, are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. They taste good, you know, to hear those tales of a talebearer. They taste good, but they go down into the inmost body and they corrupt. And then finally, verse 21. I think this is a good place to to conclude our portion of scripture in Proverbs at verse 21 of Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your words, brethren, will bring a blessing or a curse, and that will affect your life. Your whole life will be affected by the words that you speak. And now is the time for us to take control of our mouth and commit ourselves to only speaking what is good. Commit ourselves to speaking only wholesome words. Because in the end, your words will judge you. And that's the third point. Your words will judge you. So let's come back to the Gospel of Matthew now. Come to Matthew chapter 12. And this is a parallel account to the one we read earlier from Luke about the good tree that bears good fruit and the bad tree bearing bad fruit. This parallel account. And here in Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 33. We've seen this already in another place. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. That's Matthew 12, verse 33. And then he says in verse 34, to the religious authorities, the religious leaders who were there listening, you brood of vipers, you brood of vipers. Verse 34, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You cannot, because there was evil in their heart, and they were not able to speak good things. How can you? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Again, a good man of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man brings out of the treasure of his heart evil things. And then verse 36 of Matthew 12. I say to you that for every idle word that men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, verse 37, you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We are going to hear Christ's words on the day that we stand before him, and we are going to be judged according to our works, and the words that come out of our mouth will be our judge. If you would please turn over to Luke chapter 19 now. Luke chapter 19, familiar verse here about the the parable of the minas. The parable of the minas, very familiar parable. And we know several were everybody was given some minas. Some were given, they were given different amounts. And the one who was given one, the man who was given one mina in chapter 20, what did he do with the mina? Well, nothing. He just took it and stored it. He didn't do anything with the gift that God had given him, the opportunity that he had, but rather he came to his master, verse 20, and said, hey, master, verse 20 of Luke 19, here's your mina. Here, I've given it back to you. I've kept it put away in a handkerchief. I didn't do anything with it. And if you look at ourselves, brethren, we didn't do anything with the word that God has given us, the blessing that we have to know his word and avail ourselves of the salvation. For he said, you know, I feared you. You were, because you're an austere man, verse 21, you collect what you didn't deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. So he said to him, verse 22, the master said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. He didn't do anything. He didn't try. He didn't try to apply himself, as we are called to do, as we must do, to attain salvation. We want even though we're imperfect, to strive for that perfection using the help of God's Spirit. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And see that we must speak words that are good, uplifting, edifying. The words that come out of our mouth should be a blessing. They should be issues of life. Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So nothing corrupt coming out of your mouth, nothing at all, but what is good for necessary edification. That's our job, brethren. That's what we all need to do, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We need to measure our words and watch what we say. In verse 31, still in Ephesians 4, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All those things that are in the heart of man, put them away. Don't let them in your heart. Don't let them come out of your mouth. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Always be with grace, rather, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Always with grace. That's what we must do, because our words are going to judge us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all, as it says, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things that are done in the body, and those things that are in our heart, that come out of our mouth, whether good or bad. What's in our heart is what comes out of our mouth, and that will judge us. Our words define us. You are what you speak. We need God's help to rule over our mouth. You cannot control your mouth to be wise. It is not in you. You need God's help for that. So we all have to be like David, asking God for that help to put a guard over our mouth and a watch over our lips, what comes out. We need to measure our words. Because our words can be either one of two things. They can be a blessing or a curse. And the consequences of what you say will bring good or evil to yourself and others. The consequences will be good or evil for yourself and others. So strive to say only what is good for edification, imparting grace to the hearers. And in the end, brethren, your words will judge you. What will you say to the judge on that day? What will you say to your master in that day? Will you say, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. I took it and I used it. I applied it. I strive for protection, for perfection in my words. I did my best. Or will you say, Master, here's your mina. I kept it away in my handkerchief. I didn't do anything with it. By your words, you will be judged. You are what you speak. As Christ said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.